Thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to develop a positive-minded outlook to have you better equipped for life and business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you'll put into your briefcase for another meeting depending on your agenda. This week's tool is multiplicity, and why having multiple facets in your life can create the balance and the resources from which to pull from to handle life's challenges effectively and creatively. Being able to access multiplicity in your talents is what I will demonstrate to you that you can do, and that being able to do so is a great tool for your brand. It's just me, myself, and I. The more demands life places on us, the more it is vital to have a variety of areas from which to pull resources from which to meet those demands. Whether it's in your work, relationships, health, finances, or leisure time, let me show you how to develop and multiply the abilities you have in your life. If you're feeling bored, uninterested, and apathetic, it is time to start building in more skills to meet those concerns. But first, let's assess where we currently are. This awareness empowers us to make better choices. I have a formula for stress, a simple one. Stress is equal to when the pressures in your life are greater than the resources you have available to you. And you probably already know that stress is good, some stress. And what we are going to be addressing here, though, is chronic stress. So how can you ameliorate chronic stress? It is either by removing or reducing the pressures on you, either by eliminating them or having a cognitive shift. And by cognitive shift, I mean you just accept the pressure because you can't get rid of it, or by telling yourself it is no big deal and you won't let it bother you. Or you can up those resources. Your resources come in two forms: natural resources and artificial resources. Artificial resources are typically the ones you exchange some type of fee for a service. A shrink, a masseuse, a gym membership, a house cleaner, an au pair. But natural resources are the ones that are already available to you, like your friends and family, meditation practice, or some other talent or hobby you have. So basically, the formula is S is equal to when P is greater than R is a simple way to remember this formula. And you can see more about how this formula works in an article that I wrote, Don't Get Burned. And all the articles and the books mentioned on today's program is on our website, wcbe.org/programs/U-Inc, as well as the podcast from our previous shows, which can also be found on our sister media outlet, CitySceneColumbus.com, and iTunes and SoundCloud and Spotify. Okay, here's where multiplicity comes in. Having a hobby, developing a talent is one of those resources that you can utilize to meet those pressures. Whether it is for a time to escape from that pressure, or it gives you the confidence you need to overcome the doubt that is raised by that pressure, or it helps you meet more people as supports during times of pressure, or having that diversity in your life allows you to draw another point of view to tackle that pressure, or it can be simply a place to switch over to if you have to eliminate the pressure. So, for example, if you're a carpenter on the side, you can escape to your woodworking after a tough day at the office. If you aren't sure about how great of a mom you are, you can be happy that at least you're able to teach your kids how to build things. You have friends that you meet with at workshops and trade shows, and your woodworking friends have a unique view of the world because of how they see their hands. Or you just might hate your job working for a factory farm and you quit to make furniture full time. There is what is called the hashtag or the slash phenomena, where individuals take up another identity outside of their primary identity, evolving into a kind of identity marker to embrace a multifaceted identity, which includes having jobs and skills in different areas, which for a growing band of professionals is a way of looking for both career advancement and personal satisfaction in life. Sadly, these days, people sorely lack in this area. I want to be clear that I'm not talking about working two jobs. This is more about having multiple careers, multiple interests, but at the most basic level, having hobbies. The reality is, however, that hobbies have been all but abandoned. Most people spend their leisure time with a screen. In a startling article titled, Why Don't People Have Hobbies Anymore?, it is stated that we're not looking for the things that interest us or uniquely move us. We're simply fixated on whatever is prepared for us on a silver platter by media outlets and trending topics. It makes the clear distinction around hobbies versus pastimes. Hobbies are things you have a genuine interest in. Pastimes simply pass the time. A hobby tells a lot about who you are. How you choose to spend your free time is one of the most intimate, revealing characteristics about your general being. Due to an almost complete lack of people engaging in cultivating hobbies and interests, we've lost a lot of individuality. And as a result, we don't feel the same drive to cultivate certain aspects of our own selves, be it through an interest in the arts or anything else. This lack of multiplicity is what is driving many people to experience deep dissatisfaction with their lives. So, embrace the slash. Author Marshall Goldsmith describes these folks, aka slashes, as people who pursue multiple careers or vocations simultaneously. That slashes have taken the notion of moonlighting and turned it on its head. Whereas moonlighting was something you did shamefully, slashing has cachet. From lawyer chefs to mom screenwriters to celebrity icons like Bono, rock star humanitarian, slashes are appearing at all strata of society. In his book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, he even goes as far as to say that to be your most successful, it is something that has to be cultivated. In the Freelancers Union blog, Kate Hamill said it best. As we continue to roll steadily into the 21st century, multifaceted people will become more and more valuable and more able to maneuver in an increasingly fluid economy. Embrace the hybrid. You're not alone. And you have every reason to be proud. But you don't even have to start with another job or career. Just start with a hobby. Now, how do I do that? Rhea, nothing interests me. Well, the first thing you need to do is kill your television and commit to being screen-free for a large portion of your non-working day. Ideas will start to pop up because you'll be looking at what to fill your time with something. If you need inspiration, you can read the book, The Big Book of Hobby Ideas by DJ Gellner, that came out this year, with links and resources to help you find your passion, or get the book, Get a Hobby! By Tina Barsigan. You start with the personality quiz to identify those hobbies that best match your aptitude, interests, and even your mood, then it's on to the hobbies. Each hobby entry provides a playful mix of information, overviews, histories, and sample projects to help to get your hobby on. Plus profiles of dedicated hobbyists and resources that'll help you take you to that next level. Or just join a friend with their hobby. If you don't want to read a book, there are tons of personality quizzes online. See what your friends are getting into. Go with them to that pottery class. And speaking of pottery class, many local recreation centers have 10-week classes that are entry-level skill-wise and affordable to most, and there are grants for those who qualify financially. So try something with minimal investment. You don't have to buy a pottery wheel or kiln to get started. My best recommendation would be start a garden. Everybody eats. It doesn't matter what you pick. Just start with something and you might find something else through trial and error. And once you find the hobby that suits you, if you want to monetize it eventually, a good place to start is The Freelancer's Bible by Sarah Horowitz, which helps solopreneurs learn the ropes and an all-encompassing guide to every practical detail and challenge of being a nimble, flexible, successful freelancer. So, happy exploring and finding your new facet of that diamond that is you. In our leisure, we reveal what kind of people we are. That is a quote by enormously popular poet Ovid, a contemporary of Virgil and Horace, and one of the three producers of the Western canon of literature that scholars generally accept as the most important and influential in shaping Western culture. Peter Margaritis is a successful certified public accountant and a member of the American Institute of CPAs, Ohio Society of CPAs, and a sought-after public speaker as a member of the National Speakers Association, and also a speaker and a trainer who has delivered hundreds of seminars, conferences, workshops, and keynotes to clients that include Fortune 500 companies, large and national regional accounting firms, state CPA associations, and the American Institute of CPAs. He is also known as the Accidental Accountant. Mr. Margaritis is the author of the book, Improv is No Joke, in which he teaches business professionals how to become more effective, sharpen their creativity, and develop leadership skills needed to succeed and improve business results through improvisational techniques. And he is also a comedian, and I mean that in a literal sense. Clearly, a man who is in full possession of having multiplicity in his life in a way in which all areas complement and elevate one another. Welcome, Peter Margaritis.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, Peter, true to today's tool, multiplicity, we are in fact doing two shows, right?
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about your podcast and your followers.
My podcast is titled after my book, Improv is No Joke. And I believe my audience primarily are business professionals and slightly tilted towards the CPA community.
Okay. So they're going to be excited to hear a little bit about you because usually you're interviewing other people.
Yeah, this is a little weird.
Okay, good.
Now I know how my people feel when I'm interviewing
there
them.
There you go. So we met at a national conference that we were both speakers at. And you were, your presentation, you used humor, which I participated in and enjoyed thoroughly, by the way. And I know we covered some of the things that you do in your bio, but can you tell me all of your slashes?
All of my slashes?
Yes.
There's so many what I do. First and foremost, I'm a dad.
Okay.
And a husband. In my business, I'm a speaker. I'm a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
I look at myself as trying to facilitate a conversation versus presenting information. I use a lot of humor to do that. I spent time at Ohio Dominican University for about 10 years as an instructor, and I learned a lot about how to interact with an audience. I still, at times, will still do some stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I will, when I have time. Being an entrepreneur, as you well know,
right,
is a 24/7 job. And ever since I started this job, I say I have not worked a day since I started my career, my job, my own business. You ask my wife, that's a completely different thing. He works all the time. I don't look at his work because as you were talking about hobbies, one of my hobbies is bike riding. I love to get on my bike and just ride.
Now, are we talking about hogs or are we talking about bicycles?
We're talking about bicycles.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not talking Harleys.
Okay.
But I do have a Miata, which is my version of a Harley. I'm better on four than on two.
Nice.
But I'll go for a long bike ride, and it clears my mind. It helps me deal with that stress. But sometimes I come up with some really cool ideas that I can try to act on. So I do that. I don't know. I could go on for hours
right,
on the different slashes that I have.
And so you have the podcast. You have a successful speaking career. You have a book. You're the epitome of a Renaissance man. Are your approaches to any of these different things, do you take different approaches to each of these areas?
That's a really good question because I don't know, to be honest with you. I just look at it. Well, I'll put it this way. My brain is wired very differently. I took the Herman Brain Dominance Indicator one time and said I had a whole brain, which shocked my friends and my family.
Hmm.
They didn't really realize that. But it said I have a real strong left and a real strong right. So I'm able to look at things much more in a creative way. I mean, I'm working with CPAs, very left brain, very Sheldon Cooper, very analytical, but I can come at them at a way that I can get into their mind a little bit, since I've lived it, but I also can bring the creativity and try that marrying up of the two. And I think that's where my success has been, as well as my book, Improv is No Joke, using improvisation to create positive results in leadership and life. I'm a student of improv, and I learned early on, 20-some-odd years ago, that it's not all about funny, even though that's why I went. But I've learned that it's a leadership tool. It's a business tool. It's a way to connect better with your clients, your colleagues, your family. And that is, by me fully adopting and living, walking the talk, it's just better connected me with my business, with my family, with things around me.
Right. So you have an ambidextrous mind. Can you also write with both hands?
I cannot.
Okay.
I cannot. I can drink with both hands. I can't write with both hands.
So the question, I think, that kind of begs the question, people ask me all the time, where do you find all the time to do everything? For me, my answer is, I don't do TV. I never do gaming. So those are some of the ways I free up the time. Where do you find your time? How do you do that?
I used to look at it as time, but recently I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Greg Condoracci on my podcast, and he talked about we need to get away from time management to energy management. When do you have your most energy? Look at that point in time when you're at your lowest energy. Do some smaller types of things. And I found myself to be much more productive in freeing up time that I can have a hobby, that I can, well, in the winter. I do have my bike in the basement, so I try to do it that way. But I find that in the morning, if I can get at my desk about 6 o'clock, I can get so much done in those early hours because I got so much energy, much more creative than I am at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and dragging. And then my son comes home from school at 2:30 when I'm in town, and I try to spend some time with him. And being Greek, And one of my hobbies is cooking.
Mm.
And my wife doesn't like to cook. She took the Greek gene of cleaning. I took it of cooking.
Gotcha.
I'll do the dinner, then she'll do the cleanup, and then I'll go back to work for a bit.
Okay, I like that energy management. So we have a lot in common. We're both Greek. We're both mad slashers. And we both independently came up with the word edutainment. In fact, you call yourself CEO, but that's an acronym for Chief Edutainment Officer. Two things. Can you please not sue me for the rights of that word? And can you tell me how you came up with that term?
I will not sue you. I think I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you.
It's official now.
It's official. Okay. It's on record. It's all yours right. Now. I'll start erasing it off of every. Actually, where I got that idea from was there was a gentleman who taught journalism at Ohio University. His name was Mel Hurlitzer. He also wrote some books about how to write comedy. But one of his famous quotes that really stuck with me, it goes something like this. It's what's not taught at the university, it's what's caught. And if I can make my students laugh, then I can spoon in that knowledge.
Mm.
And I went, that is so true, because the more you get people to laugh, the more you keep them engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And when the laughter ends, is the height of listening, which came from David Nahil. And because we've all sat in very boring prison, Bueller, and you don't remember anything. But you remember those that instructor who brings humor that can inspire you. And humor does a lot. I mean, I'm talking very clean jokes, very not so much jokes, but just ways of demonstrating that humor.
Mm-hmm. And earlier you mentioned your son, and you recently discovered that your son has diabetes, and I'm sorry. And we talked about this when we sat down for coffee, and I remember you had mentioned something in your words that, you know, by the time you had discovered it, it was, you know, pretty far along, and that maybe you had missed something, and, you know, it was kind of some kind of new mission that you're kind of adopting to help people gain awareness around that. So my question would be, is it possible that people can have an abundance of multiplicity in their lives that they might miss something right under their noses?
Oh, most certainly. That detail where the left brain comes in. And I've been a type 1 diabetic for about 10 plus years.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel a lot in the fall and in early winter, but I was home for a couple, 2 or 3 weeks for Christmas. And I just noticed something different about it. He was drinking a little bit more water than whatever, but I didn't see any consistency. So then one morning I got up and I noticed that he'd gotten up a couple of times to use the restroom late at night and had some water. And I went, I'm going to watch it the next day. It didn't happen. But then one day on New Year's Day, I just saw some real classic signs, took his blood sugar, and it was over 600.
Wow.
And it said, seek a medical assistance, and immediately took him to the emergency room. His blood sugar was about 730, which is off the charts, which is dangerous at a dangerous level. But he hadn't gone into he didn't have any ketones in the system. So
okay.
that was the blessing there, because too many children, the parents don't know these signs. And by the time they do get them to the hospital, sometimes it can be too late.
Mm, okay, thank you for sharing that. So I've read some of your testimonials, and there's a ton, wow. And I read one that stated, and I quote, "The passion and commitment you have for your business definitely shows through. It's obvious you take pride in the development and refinement of the content." And I have to say that I must echo that. "And you are prolific, and you seem like you bring your A game everywhere. How does one maintain their momentum in these multiple roles?" So basically, what would be your pro tip for managing multiple areas and having this balance in self-care? Because I also remember when we were chatting that, you know, you recently have to have a surgical procedure, for example. So how does one do that?
My belief is you give it 110% whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but you have to have downtime. You have to step away, because if you don't, then you know, you're not going to bring your A game. You're going to be tired. I also believe that when you bring that 110%, that you give it your all, you leave it out there on the field, it shows. You're not dialing it in. I don't do canned presentations. I customize them for the audience. I just, and with my son. And that's where a little bit of that multiplicity, I know that it took me a while, because I realized I wasn't spending as much time with my family.
Mm.
as I should be because I was so totally focused on the business. But I've learned how to kind of back away from that.
And, you know, and it's hard because, you know, when you're trying to, you know, do, like you say, bring your A game 110%, and then there is a family around you, you know, you're mired with this guilt. And the best way to get rid of that is, like, you know, put it down for a little bit and attend. Okay. If you could, would you add another facet? Let's say, would you, and what would that be, just out of curiosity?
Oh, I'm adding another facet to the business.
Okay, let's hear this.
Well, so I had the book, and then the next year came the podcast. And this year, I've added a coaching feature to my business where I have one client right now that I'm coaching how to do better presentation, from mm-hmm. everything from building the PowerPoint to telling better stories to how to use platform skills.
Okay. And so one of the things that we talked about for people when they want to explore doing another facet is like how they would go about it. So how did you go about getting into this coaching thing?
It's something that I always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But recently I was doing a presentation on how to do better presentations and better public speaking. And a guy afterwards came up to me and goes, "Do you do any coaching?" And as any entrepreneur knows, the answer there is, "Of course I do."
Right, right, absolutely.
And he said, "Well, I'm doing a presentation tomorrow. Will you take me on as a client and sit through there and give me some feedback?" And I said, "Most certainly." Our sessions didn't interfere with each other, so I did. Mm-hmm. So it's something I wanted to do, been thinking about doing it, but it just approached me.
Right.
And I went, I was no way I was going to say no.
Yeah, right. No, yeah. You don't.
No, not as an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Yes, of course. I'm an expert at this thing.
I can get this done for you.
Good for you.
And then there's another book in the making. So there may be even more multiplicity this year by adding a second book or starting that second book.
Great. And where can people find your book?
They can find my book. They can buy my book on my website at www.petermargaritis. And the last is MARGARITIS.
Mm-hmm.
.com.
Now, Margaritis.
Margaritis. Now, we pronounce it as a cocktail, but it's spelled like an inflammation.
Oh, gotcha. I love it. So I wanted to go over one thing. What was that improv thing that we did at that conference? Was it the yes and? Because I know you mentioned that a lot.
It could have been the yes and game, or it could have been something along the lines of last words spoken, where I would say a sentence, and mm-hmm. then you would begin your sentence with
right.
the last word that I say.
Right.
And that's all about teaching about listening.
Right. Okay, let's do that real quick.
Quick is a very good thing.
Thing is something that I do every day.
Day. Some days are longer than others.
Others wonder what I'm doing here.
Here is a good place to be. There is a little bit different.
Well, that's very good, actually. So I have to ask this question. So on your Facebook page, because I would do my research, everything, okay. You make multiple mentions of this joke, "Why does the chicken cross the road?" So what I want to know, what makes you so interested in this joke? And, you know, I suppose it's a classic way to present comedic campiness, but also, why do you present the joke? Why are you into it? No, you don't know. You just have a fascination with it.
No, I don't know the joke. I don't think I.
Why does the chicken cross the road?
Yeah, but I don't remember that being on my website.
Oh,
I don't remember it ever being on my Facebook.
Oh, really?
Page. Yeah.
Okay. We'll just cut that part out.
What I should have done is just improvised, but I don't.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
No, it's okay. So if someone needed to also utilize your services, they would go to your website?
They would go to my website, petermargaritis.com. They can connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter. I'm pretty much out there in social media, so I'm pushing a lot of content out as well.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you one last question. Okay. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Well, the chicken crossed the road because the wolf was chasing the chicken.
Okay. Well, you certainly are the wolf of Main Street and all the things that you do. Thank you very much, Mr. Margaritis, for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
The slash is no different than trying a new facet in your life. There is a learning curve, norms to be considered, players to learn how to face and even a whole set of jargon to incorporate into your vocab. But you might not have time to learn this slash code, so let's find your multiples and make peace with them quicker than a read of Sybil. In today's fast-paced world, with all doors open to anyone with a pulse and a laptop, more and more of us are embracing the slash. What I mean by that is the multitudinous roles we assume in our daily lives, some of us out of necessity, some of us out of curiosity, and some of us out of fear of mortality. If the world before us today has taught us anything other than 60 is the new 40, is that there is plenty of time to do it all. Assuming that nothing is holding you back, extrinsically or intrinsically, you probably are involved in quite a few roles. Okay, think of all the roles you play. Some examples might be brother, wife, friend, soccer coach, Girl Scout leader, artist, activist, producer, station manager. First, go ahead and give yourself a pat on the back. Yep, that's right, you deserve it. Congrats! Now here is where it gets tough. Which one does not give you as much satisfaction as the rest? Okay, I'm not going to say dump this facet. This slash existence is what seems to be what the future is telling us we need to embrace. And guess what? It's great for you to have many factors going for you. However, could it be time to admit that we continue this role solely because it is a slash to our names? So, for example, you know the one that we're most familiar with, model slash actress slash waitress slash activist. Maybe modeling isn't as fun as it used to be, and you're tired of not eating pizza and cupcakes at will to maintain that size 4. Plus, let's face it, not much brain work going on, and what perhaps of setting a bad example for young women? It may be time to let go of this role. This also frees your time to participate in more activism, which brings you more joy and a sense of meaning, such as the recent closing of the circus, which you had a hand in by being a voice against cruelty by protesting. In conclusion, I ask you, why hang on? And what exactly are you hanging on to? My pro tip, there was a time that adjunct professor was a part of my multiplicity for 13 years. When it came to an end for reasons outside of my control, it was certainly a chapter in my life that I was sad to see end. And while it was good for it to close, I still felt that I had to cling to that. But it made room for a new role, which is the one you're listening to today. My take on that experience is, although tough, it really does work out in the end. Sounds cliche, but let me say this, it's okay. You can let go of the slash that is not as fulfilling as the others and be open to what is coming next and make room with the power of a tornado for what is possible. Time for our movie motivation. No, this won't be about Sybil, as I mentioned earlier, the now-in-question story about a young woman plagued with multiple personalities after a major childhood trauma as told by her shrink. Although, I remember reading that tome when I was 13 and it was quite, impactful. The film for multiplicity is Moana. Moana, for the uninitiated, is a Disney film about a young Polynesian daughter of a chief faced with the dilemma of which role she needed to honor first. Moana of Motunui was a Polynesian princess, a daughter, an emissary of the ocean, a hero to her people to restore the heart of Tafiti, and a great ocean navigator. But rather than let the parts define who she was, she had her mission, and all of her parts were there for her to complete her mission. Regulation of the slashes per their usefulness to your mission is the lesson here.
And now, a word from our person on the street.
So, Aiko, what are your thoughts on multiplicity?
As far as multiplicity is concerned, I really don't think of it as a separate thing. So there's no multiplicity. I don't think of it as multiplicity. I think of it more of a single one role as a volunteer. And when I discovered that I could be different roles, it didn't have to be like a separate thing. It could be all in one. Just because I thought of it as things being part of me.
So would you say that all of your roles are in sync?
Yes.
And it's
vibrations are a little bit different. And but they're all the same. You know, it's like, so it might feel multiple, but it doesn't seem that way to me.
I agree with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rhea.
And
that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Maria Greif, and you've been listening to You Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.